All right, welcome back to the Hoop Rhymes and Life podcast, a.k.a. the HRL podcast. This is episode 2. I'm back with my co-host D.A., L. Will, and J. Rich. How y'all feeling today?
Good, man. Just happy to get right back at it, man. We got a lot of good topics coming up, so I'm ready to go.
All right, man, same here. Okay. Anxious. Can't wait to talk about some of the things that's been going on.
What's good? It's J. Rich, also known as Jordan Richard. It feels good to be in here finally. And, you know, not being overseas and it's in that cold weather in Finland. So it feels good to be in a new climate.
Okay. Quick question, man. How'd you guys feel about episode one?
Episode one, man. I thought we got off to a good start, man. I wish Jordan would have been able to be a part of it. But, you know, that's just the life of, you know, playing ball overseas. But I felt good about it. Some wild takes, mainly from L-Dub, but. You know, that's just who he is.
I mean, you can call him wild. They just uncommon. That's all it is. It's not intentional. I'm not doing it for shock value. It's just the way I see things.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get to it, man. Sixers Celtics, game five reactions. What you guys got?
Game five, man. You know, I was initially, you know, I had Philly winning that series in six. So, but once they went out 3-0, I was just hoping they get swept. I'm ready to move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. I will say that I think it's a series that's going to lead Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid to really put in some work this summer, man. To lose that way, a chance to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, your first year together, and just to drop the ball, I think they're really going to work. They seem to have those personalities.
Okay.
Yes, same here. I thought game five, differently. I pretty much had them beating them after. So, not surprised that the series is over with. Disappointing how Philly showed up this series. I had them actually going to the finals against the Cavs. So, I'm excited to see what Boston does against Cavs.
Jared Itch.
Man, it's crazy to me because, like, before the series started, I talked to these two dudes, L-Dub and D.A., and both of them had supreme confidence in the Sixers. I told them from the beginning that Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart were the guys to worry about, a.k.a. the street dogs, because they play defense and they got a street game. I knew this was going to happen. So it feels good to me. Marcus Smart, they did their job. And we already knew this was going to happen. So it's none for me.
Okay.
How do you see it, DG?
As far as, you know, me, I'm kind of disappointed in Ben Simmons and Embiid. I thought they would take over, but they kind of got exposed a little bit. So I feel like Embiid can be played one-on-one with the big, and he's not going to kill you because he's not going to be efficient. And as far as Ben Simmons, I feel like he can be stopped if you have a big body and you get back on defense. So I feel like in the long term, it'll probably be good for them because they lost now, but they definitely have some things to work on. A little disappointed, but – you know, Boston played well, so.
Yeah. I was more disappointed in Ben Simmons than Joel Embiid. I just saw too many different type of defenders being able to defend Ben Simmons. After we seen him dominate in the Miami series, I felt at least it would be some type of transfer over. But I didn't see any game where he just took over. He's a rookie, so I try not to put so much pressure on it, but I felt like he could have done a lot better. His flaws stood out the most as opposed to Joel Embiid's.
I can see that. Any last words?
I mean, my question to y'all is that after seeing the series, is Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier really considered a bum? And is it just Brett Stevens' system? Because obviously they're playing in, you know, on big moments and they're performing. Like, the system could be there, but, I mean, we got to give some credit to those guys.
Well, you guys know my take on Terry Rozier. I'm not going to sit here and give Marcus Smart a whole lot of credit. Defensively, he has a knack for the ball. So, I mean, but I mean, when do we talk about hustle players like that? Like,
knack for the ball.
I feel like we're first two episodes. We're spending a lot of time talking about
role players.
Terry Rozier. And it is what it is. He's getting an opportunity to play. Brad Stevens. I mean, even the players said it, man. Even the players said it when they what was that game? game three when they got the ATO after timeout, Brad Stevens drew it up. All the players gave credit to Brad Stevens. Jason Tatum did it again today. Jason Tatum's a future superstar, by the way. So he's excluded from this system talk. Al Horford's proven himself apart away from the system in Atlanta. But Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, Aaron Banks, Marcus Morris, they need to go ahead and give some of their game check to Brad Stevens because he's making them look real good. And those street dogs you talking about, they about to get hit by a bus in Cleveland.
Well, speaking of that, let's move on to the Celtics matchup with the Cavs. How do you guys feel about that?
I got Cavs in six.
Surprising.
It's not surprising at all. Again, I'll state it the same way I stated in episode one. I'm a fan of the game. I don't love any player, so don't associate myself with Dennis or with DA when it comes to that. Yeah, man, Cavs in six.
Okay, DA, what you got?
I'm going to go with Cavs in four or five, actually.
Ooh, wait. That's how you feeling? Okay.
No, it's not that. It's just I was just doing some research on it. The only thing that I'm hesitant about is Ty Lue. I really don't have much confidence in him and his adjustment. So the only issue I see going into that series is I know they want to stick with that same starting five that they started to deploy against Indiana and roll through Toronto. But I just don't like any of the matchups for Korver. So I think it's a series where Cleveland's young guys, Jordan Clarkson, Rodney Hood, a guy like Jeff Green, even a Chetty Osman's going to get an opportunity to play and to run. Just because they're going to need some more athletic defenders out there because Jaylen Brown could put it on the floor. Jason Tatum is showing a lot of skill and versatility. Marcus Smart, you know, he's a junkyard dog. And, you know, Terry Rozier, you know, the star, as some would lead you to believe. So, but I'm going to go with Cleveland in five.
Hold on real quick, Jay Rich, before you say, D.A., you're going to sit here in front like you're saying Terry Rozier, the star, as some would lead you
did
to
I,
believe.
I didn't say you would lead him. I said something.
I'm not saying you said any names. D.A., you're not even listening to my question because you want to cut me off.
Go ahead.
Can we not sit here and say that Terry Rozier is playing well in these playoffs?
He is playing well.
Let's not slight him, but you throwing shade at him. Just say he's playing well without having to throw.
You threw shade at Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart's playing well. You said I'm not going to sit up there and give a lot of credit to Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart still shooting as bad as he has been all season.
And Terry Rozier still making bad decisions as he has his whole career.
He's had multiple games with zero turnovers and nine or more assists. He's had multiple games shooting over 50% from the field. He's had one game where he's taking over in the fourth quarter.
I said he's playing like a star, like someone lead him to believe.
Okay, so don't say that he's still doing blase blah. So we were right. You throwing shade at him.
Okay. You throw the
instead of you just saying he's playing well. Just say he's playing well.
We love it.
Just say he's playing well. Like you, it's the thing is, you can't say someone's playing well that you didn't bet your word on. So now you want to throw shade at somebody because they're proving you wrong game after game, and instead of you just being like, you know what, he's having a good series, you always got to say he's playing good, but he's blase, blase, blah. Come on, man. Just throw your compliment at him and let it rock.
He's proven me wrong game after game.
Next. Oh, go ahead, Jordan. It's on you.
Is that what you were saying? Yep. No, I wasn't done.
It's on you, Jay Rich.
Yo, Dwight, isn't it crazy? Because, like, before the series started, both of them said that the Sixers were going to win the series. And then, like, I didn't hear this much passion for Terry Rozier being talked about from Williams. So
I don't know when. Develop this crush on him, but I mean, it's just false. The dude shot 4 for 11. He's a 39% shooter on the season. He shot 4 for 11 in game five, 1 for 6 from three, and he just says he's playing well. He's playing okay. He's a role player. But when I say that,
we only talking about the series.
Listen, I said some will believe you, some will lead you to believe that Terry Rozier the star, and you said, who said that? You're saying it. You want me to say who said
that? That's not what I asked you. That's not what I asked you. All I said was, why can't you just give this man a compliment without throwing shade at him?
I did give him.
The reason you can't, the reason you can't, because you did not believe him. Say you don't like him. I'm not a fan of
him. I don't have a problem with Terry Rozier. I don't know the brother. I don't like him. I don't think he's that good. And you have a problem with me not thinking he's that good.
Okay, so there we go. That's what it is. That's why you keep throwing shade at him, because you don't believe
him. There's no shade. I just said he's playing well, and it's the system.
All right.
Yo, no, real talk, William. Did you like turn your jersey inside out, your Ben Simmons jersey on, and put a Terry Rozier?
I'll see, Jay Rich, this is what you have to realize. This is what you have to realize, Jay Rich. You're coming in saying, I didn't see this Terry Rozier thing. Well, me and Dennis have been talking Terry Rozier since mid-season. I text him and told him, hey, Terry Rozier is he's nice. I like him. When he was on the bench, this while Kyrie was still playing. Then the first series started, and I said, I like Terry more than I. It is what it is. He wanted to defend Bledsoe. Ah, he's a starter. He does this. He does. And he don't do nothing. He's a backup.
The start of this last series, you're ready to throw the Terry Rozier jersey in the fire.
No, and see, that's what you're wrong.
It's just fraudulent. It's just fraudulent.
No, that's what you're wrong. Because I didn't say – I can pick against – Terry Rozier, even though he's playing well, that doesn't mean I believe that his team is going to beat Philly. No, I believe Philly was going to be able to outplay.
But they did beat Philly, and you said he deserves all the credit. So
did I say – I never said he deserves all the credit.
I didn't give him enough credit.
Hey, fellas, let's get back to the Cavs-Celtic. I know Rozier is a star, but let's get back to the Cavs-Celtic.
It's crazy. We spend way too much time on that.
What you guys think?
All right, back to what I was saying. I have the Cavs in five, actually. I think it's a game of matchups. I don't feel like, Boston really matches up really well with the Cavs. Or maybe let me change it. I think the Cavs match up really well, with the Celtics. I think, Jordan Clarkson and, players like Rodney Hood, those guys, they can gain confidence, playing in the series. Because they match up with the guys. It's not like they're dealing with any superstars. We know LeBron's going to do what he has to do. I like Kevin Love's matchup with Al Horford. They, pretty much are the same guys out there. They shoot threes, I would say Kevin Love would be slightly better, but, Kevin Love's been dealing with injuries. So I like Cavs in five.
I agree with you. I got Cavs in six, though, but I think it's a good matchup for the Cavs. I think Boston doesn't have a matchup for LeBron, and I think Kevin Love actually has a matchup problem for them. So that's rough for me to say because I'm not the biggest Kevin Love fan, but I can see his advantage in the series. I think Boston has the athletes, but I don't think they have enough three-point shooting to actually beat the Cavs. So, I got Cavs.
My question would be, who's defending Kevin Love?
It has to be Horford or Baines.
Why do we believe Al Horford, Kevin Love?
I don't think Al Horford's a lockdown defender, but I think Kevin Love dragging him away from the paint is going to be the advantage. So I think that's why I picked Kevin Love to have a matchup problem for them.
Yeah, I'm not. I see Al Horford being able to defend Kevin Love pretty well, actually, because he's mobile enough to where he can be taken out to the three-point line side, left to right. They had Al Horford on Ben Simmons.
Well, we've seen
Granted, Ben Simmons can't shoot.
We've seen this multiple times. I mean, we've seen Kevin Love get his against Al Horford in Atlanta. We've seen him do it in Boston. So
okay.
It's really nothing that's new. It's not that he's going to torch Al Horford, but he's not at a disadvantage. He can play his regular game.
Okay.
Kevin Love could beat Kevin Love.
Okay, because the way it sounded was as if Kevin Love was going to have his way.
There's a lot of things that sound crazy when you first
hear it. It sounded like Kevin Love was going to have his way with Al Horford.
I don't think it's necessarily about that matchup in particular, but it's off the pick and roll, off the fade screens. That's tough to guard, and I think Al Horford's going to have trouble guarding it.
Right, I can see that.
So, any last takes on this Cavs-Celtics matchup?
Oh, man, when the first game is on Sunday?
I believe so.
Yeah, first game Sunday.
Should be a good game.
Can't wait for that series to end because I'm tired of hearing a few names.
So everyone has Cavs winning.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Rockets Warriors. Give me your take.
I think that's a real tough series to call, man. I think it's going to come down to what team can consistently get stops. I do like the perimeter defenders that Houston is at it with PJ Tucker, Luke and Bamute. I also think the versatility of those guys is going to allow Houston to switch, which historically has been a successful recipe for teams playing Golden State. Like, you think back to when KD was still in OKC, they switched everything, and that really bothered Golden State, and it allowed OKC to jump out to that 3-1 lead in 2016. But I took some time to study the matchups from this season, which kind of makes it even tougher to call, because Houston won the season series 2-1, and the game that the Warriors won was a game in which Harden and KD both missed, which was on January 4th. But when both teams were at full strength, Houston hasn't lost. I think the key matchups in the series, of course, are going to be CP and Steph, but I just see them kind of canceling each other out. So I think it comes down to who can be contained more, KD or Harden. And I did find some interesting stuff in my research for that series, because of course Klay's going to get the primary nod to defend Harden. And what's crazy is Klay has not sent James Harden to the free throw line since February of 2016.
Hey, hold on, where you find that at?
that's just a key stat, man. That's just key stat.
What website you
since got? Since the 5 minute mark of a game in February in 2016.
That sounds like more than synergy to me.
I'm about to say
that's spectrum. That's spectrum.
Hey, and we know that free throws are a key factor with Harden because, of course, he can, you know, be inefficient. So the free throw line is critical to his success. And on the flip side, in terms of defending KD, I see Houston throwing three defenders at him: Ariza, Tucker, and Mbamute. I know you say it's not enough, but it's just about what's tough. Ariza only matched up. We talked about Ariza last episode, really. Mm-hmm. So I did dig into some synergy stats on that matchup. Ariza only matched up with KD in the first game of the mm-hmm. season. He held KD to 28% shooting on 4 of 14 shots. So when I factor in Ariza having a history of solid defense, of course you're never going to stop KD. He's the second best player in the world. But I have to factor in the shooting slump KD's in. You know, in the playoffs, he's shooting 28% from three. If you factor in the last 9 games of the regular season, he's shooting 30%. Then I factor in Clint Capella. And I think Clint Capella is who's going to allow them to defend them, because Golden State seems set on playing that Hampton's five lineup, or the death lineup, whatever you want to call it, with Draymond at the five. So his ability to defend Draymond in space, I think that's going to be critical. So with all that said, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to take the Rockets in seven.
Okay. I like it.
And the reason why I'm going to do that is because never in NBA history has two teams played each other four times consecutively in the NBA Finals. So ultimately, I'm betting on LeBron's individual greatness and his dominance of the Eastern Conference to outlast the collective dominance of the Golden State Warriors. Houston in seven.
Jay Rich, what you got?
The Warriors in six. It all, to me, this comes down to James Harden defending. I can't picture it. I love James Harden as an offensive player. Like, offensively, he's unstoppable. One of the greats. But can he defend? That's like a huge question that we have to ask ourselves. Is that.
Who do you think he's going to need to defend? Iguodala?
No, he needs to defend somebody. Can he defend anybody? I'm not sure. I mean, we haven't had that statement.
I'm saying, who do you think they're going to match him up on?
Jay Rich, do you think they can hide him like they do Steph? Because they always hide Steph. So can they hide James?
No, I don't think so. Not on this team. I mean, because you're going to have to work.
Can't hide Steph this year.
I mean, you can put him on PJ Tucker.
Different, you know, it's different, like, with Steph and different players.
PJ
like,
don't start.
People run different type of offense. You know, the Warriors have a strong, you know, system when it comes to getting Klay and Steph and KD the ball. So are we putting him on the four-man?
The four-man?
I'm just saying, because you're saying that he's going to guard Iguodala, so obviously Iggy's going to be the four.
KD's the four. Dre's the five. KD's the four,
bro.
But it doesn't matter, because I just told you that they're gonna have to
switch. Yes, the lineups how they are doesn't matter, because there's gonna be a lot of switching in with that Golden State offense.
But can James Harden defend is the question. Is he going to?
I think
like him defensively.
I think a different
James Harden defensively is the question.
The story of James Harden not defending is starting to die now. It's starting to get old. He has been playing defense better within the last couple of years. We haven't seen him getting torched. We haven't seen him just giving up on defense. It just hasn't been that bad at all.
I think that's another bogus statement, because I feel like you're not watching him play defensively. I feel like so you're watching the fact that he's dominated offensively.
No, and but that's false.
That
he's
putting up. That boy only watches.
That's false. Because if you watch the games, even the commentators will tell you James Harden is actually playing better defense this season. You can go to any defensive list and see him higher in the defensive stats or defensive efficiencies.
Are we watching YouTubers, or are we watching like straight facts? Because I've never heard watching any commentators say that. Well, James Harden is
Jay Rich.
You said the F word. Jay Rich,
you've been out of the country. What are you watching? You are not watching these games.
I'm watching, and that's what I'm asking you.
You're not watching these games, man. Knock it off.
Lamar, what you got, man?
Knock it off, man. All right, listen.
Lamar.
James Harden, don't matter what he does defensively or offensively, Golden State taking it at 6. I got them winning on Monday the game to set the tempo. They'll win game one. They'll probably end up winning both at home, and then Houston will come back, win game five. They'll win it in game 6.
But you told me that James Harden's a much better defender
than he's been. No. The last 2 years, he's been playing better defense than he has been the years prior. So that's
ultimately, it doesn't matter because exactly. He says he has
it doesn't matter whether anyway. He plays defense or not. He's going to lose. So it is what it is. I feel like the way Houston has to play in order to win is not going to be enough to beat Golden State. Chris Paul and James Harden have to have huge games, along with Capella having a really good game as well, because Golden State is going to score the ball. Houston hasn't seen a defensive team like Golden State long. They're going to run up and down the floor the entire game. They're going to be stretching.
Do you agree that Houston is going to be the toughest and most complete team that the Warriors have seen since they've been
assembled? Absolutely. I feel like this is going to be the toughest season. Even before KD got there, this will be the toughest season, the toughest series that they've had ever since.
Go ahead, Dwight.
And you got them in 6.
I got them in 6.
Okay. Ah, man, I got Houston in 7, man. Houston in 7.
Yay.
I'm rocking with CP and James Harden, man, to get it done. I think this is the year to make it to the finals. I'm saying this more with heart than my mind. I feel like my heart wants to pick Harden and CP3, so I'm going with Houston. I got some faith in Ariza, Tucker, and Bamuta. They slowed down KD a little bit. Just a little bit. Not stop him, but just slow him down a little bit. And I think CP3 on Steph, they cancel out. I'm going to need Harden to go for 40 a couple of times to win, though.
I think that's going to happen. I'm also doing it, like I said, I'm doing it just on the fact that I think LeBron's individual dominance is going to outlast Golden State's.
Yeah, you going off of history, and you want to be Max Kellerman.
I don't even watch Max.
That's fine. You don't have to watch him.
Max is definitely not analytical, brother.
Yes, Max is very analytical.
Nah. Max don't even watch basketball.
Max is very analytical. That's the problem. He actually picked Houston too. All season he's picked Houston. So
I don't know who he picked.
I know. I'm not saying that you're trying to be like him. I just said you pulled a Max Kellerman. You brought out the analytics. You brought out all the statistics.
I brought out the analytics. I brought out the synergy stuff just in terms of different matchups.
Right.
That has no reflection on why I'm picking
I think it's
all heart, bro.
Go ahead, Jay.
It's all heart. I think it's all heart for them because, like, you know, I'm a LeBron fan. I think LeBron is you know, the GOAT, honestly. You know, it just
goes without saying.
I feel like they're tired. They know like what's gonna happen if the Warriors get there, so they're just saying that Houston's gonna get there. But
no, I think Golden State or Houston's gonna be Cavs in the finals. So I really don't see it any other way.
I know this is crazy, and I'm gonna bring it up right now. But since I already have the Warriors going, you know, on, I'm gonna say watch out for JaVale McGee in these next two series that they're playing, because JaVale McGee protects the rim. He's active. I know everyone calls him a clutch, but he played a major role last year in the finals, you know, with players getting to the paint like James Harden or like LeBron, you know, getting to the paint and him being able to defend and you know, put a hand up and try to block a shot. I feel like he's key defensively for them because I don't see Harden just getting to the paint as easily.
Key defensively? You realize Kerr took him off the floor against Anthony Davis, right?
Yeah, Anthony Davis is a different monster, though. He can shoot totally the ball on the floor, everything. Totally.
But he can't be key to your defense if he's off the floor.
Yeah, but on this series, he's going to be key because when he comes to the paint, what is Capella doing? He can't put the ball on the floor and shoot it from the three.
Capella's job is just really to catch them lobs into.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. JaVale McGee can play in these next two series. I feel like he matches well, you know, in these series. He can be put on the floor longer.
He can be put on the floor with Kevin Love at the five.
Hey, one thing I noticed, man, y'all love role players on this podcast, man. I'm going to go ahead and say that.
Man, it's crazy.
I'm going to go ahead and say that. But, all right, yeah. Last take, man. What you guys got? You got – PA has Rockets in seven. Lamar has Warriors in six. And Jordan has Warriors in six. And I got Rockets in seven. Is that right?
That's correct.
It's going to be interesting.
Wait, hold on. Wait, tell me. We say we love role players. I heard Dennis talk about Tucker and also Trevor Ariza.
I talked about them
key that they're going to series, but yeah,
I didn't say they're the key to the series. Play. I said the key to the series is going to be who can get stops consistently against Harden and R.
And you brought up Tucker
because those are the guys who are going to guard
Ariza and Awamute. I don't even know why Awamute was
talk to him, Rich. Talk to him, Rich. He trying to win.
Those are the guys who are going to guard him. I also said Clay hasn't sent James Harden to the free throw line in over 2 years.
Yeah, which was a YouTube stat. That's not a real stat.
That's a real stat. That's a synergy stat.
I've never heard of this kind of stat.
Well, you got like L-Dub said, you've been out the country. You're worried about your own stats. I'm locking in, brother. All I got to do is go to work, go home, coach some teams, and watch League Pass. So, you know, you prepping for teams in Europe. worried about that Spain pick and roll.
All right. Hey, so this next topic. It's a question about Toronto. Did the Raptors have a successful season or was it a failure?
Trash. They showed so much promise in the regular season and they fooled all of us because the end of last season, I didn't want to hear DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry's name, period. I don't want to hear nothing from the Raptors. I wasn't even paying attention to them while Boston was doing what they were doing. And then next thing you know, they lost the number one seed. When they lost the number one seed to the Raptors, What's funny, D.A.?
What's funny, man, is, you know, my daddy always used to tell me only a fool could be fooled. And you said the Raptors fooled all of us. Man, how many times have we seen it in LeBron's career that a bum team gets the number one seed?
Well, I did have the Cavs beating the Raptors. Okay. So it wasn't – I didn't expect them to win, but I didn't expect them to get whooped. So, yes, I think it's a failure. I think it's a failed season because they didn't compete. I can understand you walking off the court with your head held high like, dang, we took them to seven, we lost, whatever. You guys got swept. It wasn't competitive. Now your coach who was – he was a coach of the year candidate. Now he's just talking about firing him. It's just crazy.
Well, I see it differently than Lamar. Surprise, surprise. But I think their season was a complete success. Just from the standpoint, they didn't have a championship roster to begin with.
Hey, D.A., D.A., hey, you reading my notes or what?
Nah, I mean, I think that we're right on. You know, I mean, I think basketball minds think alike.
Okay. Okay.
That's another shot. Pow, pow. Okay. I got that one.
I'm saying there's different basketball minds. There's different basketball minds. You and Jordan been thinking alike. Me and Dwight been thinking alike.
Well, how have we been thinking
about it? You guys took the Celtics. You guys both love Rose.
No,
in the street
no,
ball.
That's false. Me and Dwight took the Celtics. Lamar had the Sixers and then turned his jersey inside out.
He didn't mention Rozier once in that first prediction. That's what's
wild. I didn't need to.
Let's get back to the Toronto. I think it was a success. I think they didn't have a championship roster to begin with. They improved their record. They went 59-23. That's an 8-game improvement from last year. And, I mean, they just don't have enough to dethrone LeBron. And you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy about? They're talking about firing Dwayne Casey and all that. But then everybody needs to get fired because LeBron, since the Celtics won today, he's on the same exact pace to beat the teams he did last year en route to the finals. He beat Indiana in the first round, sweep. Toronto in the second round, sweep. And then the Celtics in five. So Indiana pushed him to the brink. Then he swept Toronto this year. Now you got the Celtics again. So I don't think Nate McMillan's job's on the line. I don't think Dwayne Casey's job should be on the line. And, of course, Brad Stevens' job shouldn't be on the line if they lose.
It's a little different, though.
You can't blame Dwayne Casey. You just got
to
blame
what I'm saying, you tried to use the comparison from last year to this year, and I just feel like it's different because you're saying Nate McMillan's job isn't on the line. They also went to Game 7, and it was a tight Game 7.
No, I didn't use a comparison to last year. I just said he beat the same teams. So what I'm saying is this is about LeBron's dominance over the East. There's nothing the Raptors did. It's not like the Thunder, and they went out and acquired a perennial all-star in Paul George to improve. They got the same team. So I don't get why you got swept. How are you going to get past LeBron with the same roster? How do you improve four games? You can't. You got to get better.
Yeah.
Jerry Rich, yeah, what you got?
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it's messed up on, you know, to blame this on Dwayne Casey and having his job at stake is pretty bogus for me because I feel like he had guys like Van Fleet and DeLon Wright, you know, playing well. Like, shoot, Van Fleet, he might get paid after this year.
By
you
a fool.
Just off the simple thing. Yeah, but I'm saying he's going to get paid most likely. You know, and I just feel like I feel like nobody expected the Cavs in the first place, you know, when it comes down to it. I think, you know, I think Lowry had an exceptional, you know, series because he was playing well, you know, but I feel like they never had enough to begin with to beat LeBron.
So success or failure, what you got?
I don't have either. I think it was middle. Like, I can't give someone a successful season for losing, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not a successful season, of course. So it's just in the middle because I didn't really expect – I expected him to get to this point and lose, to be honest.
So okay. I got a success. L-Dub has a failure. Jordan has in the middle. What you got?
I have a successful season. You win 59 games, man. It's a good year. And I never expected him to beat LeBron anyway. So for me, they kind of achieved what they can get. 59 wins.
I'm surprised.
Number one seed. And lose to LeBron. That's pretty much what I saw happening to the Raptors.
I think it's just the way they lost. That's what's telling me that it's a failure.
Bro, Dwight is the most competitive person I know. And this dude said getting swept is a
failure. Yeah, that's crazy.
See, I'm looking at the team and what I thought they could do. And what I thought they could do was
– is compete.
They got the number one seed. I didn't expect that. I thought the Raptors would be a 4 or 5. So they were number one seed. They had home court advantage. I think it was probably successful.
I can't because the last I just can't.
I mean, come on, man. 59 wins, that's a lot of wins. That's a good year.
No, definitely. Definitely. Their regular season was something to be applauded. They played well. They showed some versatility throughout the team as far as their roster, they worked together, so on and so forth. Again, I just felt like they didn't compete in the playoffs, and that's what ruins it for me. I'm talking about the playoffs.
Yeah, you think all of a sudden you get to the playoffs, you're like, I'm done. I don't want to play no more.
I don't feel like they competed against the Cavs.
They competed. They just lost.
I felt like two games they played well. We've seen a lot of their heart get snatched out of them, and that's demoralizing. Look at them pouting after game one. Game two, pouting. Game three, like, yo, at some point in time, you got to man up. We watch these dudes just get whooped all across the – Man, LeBron looked all world. Not to say that he's not, but he showed it. He showed every display of why he's great throughout this series. It was disgusting. Just watching how he's just whooping on these grown men.
Yeah. I mean,
that's competing, though. I mean, you can only compete with what you got. They don't got a championship roster. It's on the GM. I actually like their GM a lot, but and we'll get into that a little later. But they just didn't have it. They don't got enough to beat LeBron.
Yeah,
I believe that.
So, speaking of coaching changes, we had talked about Dwayne Casey. I have a question for you guys. What coach deserves to be fired, and what coach should not have been fired?
I'll start it off. Number one person that needs to go and rightly got fired is Stan Van Gundy. No secret there. I mean, he has full control. You know, he's the president of basketball operations and the coach. Your first season there, you go to the playoffs as the 8 seed. You know, they got swept by Cleveland that year, but they played tough. It felt like, man, Detroit's going to be
a problem. Like in a few years, they kind of gave the impression of what Philly is now. Like, oh man, they're an up and coming team, mm-hmm. but they've gotten worse. One of our boys was talking about how his dad was calling into Detroit radio stations because he's from Detroit and talking about the draft history of Stan Van Gundy. He took Luke Kennard over Donovan Mitchell. He took Stanley Johnson over Devin Booker, and then he gave up a lottery pick for Blake Griffin this year in that trade. And my question to him is, when that trade went down, is if you just saw Blake Griffin with DeAndre and Chris Paul, and that still wasn't enough, why would you think just Drummond and Blake would be enough? So Stan Van Gundy for sure is number one. What you guys think?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. 100%. Stan Van Gundy didn't do his job while he was there. He did progressively get worse, and it was nasty.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care about Stan Van Gundy. I'm concerned with OKC, and that's Billy Donovan. He should be fired immediately. Since he's become a coach in the NBA, his teams don't perform well. When he had Russ and KV, they fell short. He got the big three in OKC this year, and they did nothing. I'm not sure what he's good at. I don't think he runs good sets. They don't have a good offense. I don't know if he's a good player coach. So what does he do well? I think he should be fired. So that's the one coach that has a job that I think should be fired immediately.
And the sad thing is that him and the GM are so tight. Hey, Billy, he actually already said Billy Donovan is safe.
Yeah.
He said that. Yeah.
How? Every year he underperforms, and he still has a job.
We're going to need to dive into what OKC should do next on the next episode, because Paul George is out of there. You got to buy Melo out. He's finished. So we could talk about that later. Jay Rich and LW, you guys got any team that should be fired?
Sticking with the Stan Van Gundy, I think he's got to go.
I think of a few more.
Oh, you know what? Scotty Brooks.
You want Scotty? Not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this whole Washington. I don't know if I could. You know mm-hmm. what? I am going to put the blame on Scotty Brooks.
Yep.
I haven't seen anything progress since he's been there. He got Coach of the Year, and I think that Coach of the Year is kind of been carrying his legacy. Or carrying his life in the league, he should be out of there. He got Coach of the Year with Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
you know, say some of the best players in the world on his roster.
Yeah,
he goes over to Washington. Their roster isn't bad. I mean, it could definitely be better, but it's not bad. We haven't seen them have a good season yet in the postseason, and everybody's pointing the finger at, you know, John Wall and Bradley Beal. Well. Scotty Brooks isn't putting him in a position to succeed.
I mean, I'm not going to fight you guys on Billy Donovan or the Scotty Brooks. I think they both should go. But sometimes I think that, you know, it's easy to fire a coach when you're a GM because you're essentially just putting the blame on them, basically saying, I gave this coach enough to win and he didn't get it done. OKC could say that. You know, at least to get to the second round.
Yeah.
But Washington, I mean, they lost to Toronto. You got John Wall, Bradley Beal, you got Kyle Lowry, you got DeRozan, and I think Toronto has the better role players. So, but Scotty Brooks, I mean, he hasn't proven himself. One person that I think should be gone, I took this a little differently, not necessarily a coach, it's a GM, and it's Ryan McDonough. From the Suns, in my estimation, he's one of the worst GMs in the NBA right now. I mean, he did fire Earl Watson, which was right. You know, I mean, you let Lonzo score 29, go for a career high, you got to go. So they got Earl Watson up. I mean, I remember watching that game. He was just knifing straight through the lane. Those tough games, and so I knew Earl Watson was going to get run out of there. But Ryan McDonough, I think like you said about Scotty Brooks getting that Coach of the Year, I think Ryan McDonough was riding off his first year. You know, they had a 23-game improvement, and I think that was 2013 and 14 with the Suns. But I think a GM's job should be to build on the success, and he immediately blew it up. Stars on those teams, on that team that improved 23 games was Eric Bledsoe and Goran Dragic. He traded both of them away ultimately, but he traded Dragic, who was a 20-point scorer on a $7 million contract. And everyone knows he's on the Heat, but I don't think people remember how bad that trade was. I mean, he got back Danny Granger, who was averaging 6 points. Danny Granger had wooden knees. This is who he traded Goran Dragic for. And he got a first-round pick and took Marquese Chriss. So
I think, get McDonough out of there. They also have they also just hired the assistant from the Jazz. So it looks like they're gearing up to take Luka Doncic with that first pick.
Hey, Jay Rich, you have anything?
I think Stan Van Gundy is I don't like the Van Gundys at all personally, me. You know, I never liked really Jeff. I didn't like Stan Van Gundy in Orlando. I don't know why you would give him the keys to, you know, to be the head of basketball operations. And then you, like, right after the Luke Kennard pick, I would have fired him immediately to me because I didn't like that from the jump, you know. But I think that is easily, you know, him being fired. You know, I didn't like the trade for Blake Griffin. Yeah, you get a superstar, but, you know, no disrespect to these guys, but you have James Ennis and Stanley Johnson as your wings. Like, it's tough to really win. Like, are you really going for a title or really what's going on? Because I don't really see what's going to happen. You know, and I don't see Blake staying with the Pistons long-term. So I'm really trying to figure out really what's going on.
Oh, he's going to stay long-term because he just got
that. Got a contract.
He got a contract. Yeah. He got the contract, but is he going to be happy there? Or is he going to demand a trade?
He don't have no choice.
No one,
he's going to sit right there.
You know what I'm saying, though, but if someone really don't want to play for you, then why trade all your pieces for him?
Yeah. No, I get
that. Makes sense.
The one thing I want to add about the coach that should not have gotten let go was Budenholzer from Atlanta. That was a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're trying to go young, but I feel like he's a solid coach, man. You know, he implemented a system. He did a lot of good things before they kind of blew it up. And I think he's going to probably end up getting the Milwaukee job and turning them around.
That's a better job for him, though, anyway.
That's a good job.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, it is.
So he's probably praying for that.
I'd also like to see Chauncey Billups get the president of basketball operations in Detroit. Charles Barkley was talking about Isaiah, but now Isaiah needs to go in and just retire.
Yeah, Isaiah has a bad track record.
Yeah, I'm not feeling Isaiah.
He turned a college program into that. That's definitely a problem.
Oh, man. So I have one last coaching topic. Mark Jackson, do you guys think he's blackballed?
No.
Go ahead, Eldup.
I don't know, man. I don't know. They've been talking about it a lot, and I can't say yes or no. I'll be honest with you. So I'm gonna let Jay Rich, and I'm gonna let DA Dwight. I'm gonna let you guys handle this one because I really don't know if he's being blackballed.
I'm 100% sure he's blackballed. I mean, he built that Warriors team that's winning now. He improved every single year
Curry
as a coach. And
right.
Kerr give him credit. And when coaches like Jeff Hornacek get second chances, why can't Mark Jackson? He won 50 games and got fired and hasn't had a job since.
See, but isn't and he getting why? Interviews? Isn't he getting interviews? Like, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I feel like he's getting interviews, and I'm not sure what he's asking for in return. I'm not saying that he's asked for anything crazy, but I don't know what he wants in his contract.
See, I think he's getting token interviews. Like, let's just interview him for the sake of interviewing him. But I don't
Safe
think he's
face.
Yeah, but he's not getting a real shot. At all, I think.
Okay.
Well, I think he's getting blackballed, but I don't really know all that goes into it. I've heard a number of different things on why he was fired in Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember listening to Zach Lowe maybe like 2 years ago. And he at the time, he said he thought Mark Jackson would never coach again. And he said that if you talk to his former employer his former employers, that his references are piss poor, man. They, you know, when the new GM calls to ask about him, they said he's going to get ran down. And, I mean, they didn't really go into it at the time. I just remember hearing that. But, I mean, I you know, like Dwight said, a lot of poor coaches get second chances. I mean,
right.
I mean, terrible coaches. I mean, Jason Kidd, he been bad everywhere he's gone.
So So what I heard just recently is that while at Golden State, almost everybody in the building didn't really like Mark Jackson.
Except for the players.
Yeah, the players liked him, but the executives didn't like him.
Yeah.
Right, that hurts.
Yeah, you know, it does. It does.
Yeah, so I can see what you mean as far as him being blackballed, but is there a legit reason for it? That's why I don't know if I can call it blackball. If he's just saying, hey, listen, he doesn't fit with us, don't like his personality, man, you just don't qualify.
But
I've heard some things that we probably
can't discuss.
Well, I know. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. And it just comes down to the relationship between him and Bob Myers ultimately is why he got fired. But, I mean, he was doing a good job.
Right.
I will say this. I think that Mark Jackson can get another job if a superstar says – goes to an owner and says, I want Mark Jackson. But by superstar, I mean LeBron.
Yeah, I was going to say, give me more than one name than LeBron, because he's the only person I feel can pull anyone off the bench and be like, hey, this dude needs a job. I feel like LeBron's the only reason Ty Lue is still employed.
Well, he's the reason Ty Lue got the job in the first place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I feel like once LeBron, if LeBron decides to leave, he knows Ty Lue's gone too.
That's most likely gonna happen.
He knows that. I'm pretty sure he and Ty Lue have had this discussion. It's probably why Ty Lue had took some time off. He wanted to get a feel for how it felt to not be coaching the Cavs.
Man, Ty Lue be looking tired. So I don't know what it is, but
I mean, I know this ain't the topic, but there's no way LeBron's leaving Cleveland.
We'll touch on that another time.
Okay. Well, yeah. Speaking of leaving, best destination for Paul George.
Oh goodness.
Oh. That's an easy call for me. That's
go ahead, D.A.
Don't look at my notes.
You probably have the nation for him is Cleveland.
Damn, he taking my notes. Okay.
I mean, and that's predicting LeBron stays in Cleveland. And I just think that Paul George helps LeBron extend his dominance of the Eastern Conference. I kind of looked this up. I like all the scenarios and working with the cap and all that. So there are some realistic pathways for him to get to Cleveland. But the one that I think makes the most sense is for Paul George to do what Chris Paul did last summer in demanding that trade to Houston. But, Paul George would demand it to Cleveland. The Cavs have a trade exception that they could use, and they could package up, the player that they would draft in this year's draft with the Brooklyn pick and package him with another young guy like Seti Osman. And people would say, oh, why would OKC want to do that? Well, it's simple. I mean, Paul George could opt out. So either you can get something for Paul George or he cap's still messed up. So the Paul George has to opt out by the 29th of June. And the draft is on June 21st, I think. So I think it would be a situation where, obviously he would talk to LeBron in the offseason. Coordinate it, they get their agents involved. He demands the trade. It will be a draft day trade because Cleveland can't trade that pick before the draft, which is kind of funny because the league has that rule that you can't trade a pick in consecutive years. So I say Cleveland.
Okay. So I was thinking that I was under the impression that Paul George was pretty adamant about coming back to LA. Correct me if I'm wrong. This has been talked about for the last 2 or 3 years, him coming to L.A. So
has LeBron to L.A.
Yeah, but Paul George has definitely flirted with coming to L.A. for some time. Even, if I'm not mistaken, Magic Johnson was speaking to him about it. He was fined for it. Everybody's been saying Paul George wants to come home and play. So let's just say, hypothetically, he wants to come home. So my choice would be between the Lakers and the Clippers. He's a better fit for the Lakers than he is for the Clippers.
But you think that's a good fit to play? Play with Lonzo and Ingram and.
I don't feel like Paul George added to the Lakers is a big jump. Now this may be unpopular, but I don't feel Paul George is all that great. I don't feel he's all that great.
But is he better than Rozier?
Come on, man, stop. So,
okay.
I feel like Paul George has to have someone like LeBron or someone in that hemisphere. Like, he couldn't play with Westbrook because it's kind of rough to play with Westbrook. He's so ball dominant. But he needs to play with somebody that's better than him. He can't be the focal guy.
Yeah, he's a good second option.
Right, he has to be that. So, I don't feel him going to L.A. is a good move as far as win total and – maybe a playoff run is definitely not a good move. But I feel like that's where he's going to end up going because I'm not too sure he cares about winning championships.
I think he does want to win championships. I think the way that he was eliminated in Utah, I mean, Russ did his thing in game six.
and Paul George had 5 points, man.
Terrible. No show.
That's just a tough way to go.
Right.
And I think he wants to redeem himself. And that's why I say Cleveland, because he knows he can play with Cleveland. He can have a great – he only has 1 year left on the deal, so it's not like he has to stay in Cleveland long term.
You know what's crazy? Him having that 5 points didn't even shock me. It was more – it made me laugh more than anything else. Hey, I look at my CF 5 points, 6 turnovers. I'm like, Paul George, man, he out here just – stinking.
See, that's what's crazy.
Hey, the disrespect is real. The disrespect is real.
It's crazy. You say you expect 5 points.
No, I didn't say I expected him to have 5 points. I just said it just didn't. I wasn't looking at it like, damn, Paul George only had 5. I was just like, man, he stunk it up. He's had games like this earlier in the season where he just couldn't find his shot. He even complained about his shot earlier in the season, saying my mechanics are all off. I need to get back into the lab, so on and so forth. And him having 5 points, I didn't push that all off on him because I understand that playing with Russ is difficult. You can't really get into the flow of your own game because you have someone else who's so ball dominant, so on and so forth. So I don't put all the blame on him as far as his point production, game in and game out. But 5 points, 6 turnovers, you got Ingles all in your ear talking crazy. That didn't rub me the right way. Like, why would LA fans be like, yeah, bring Paul George over here, if that's the last visual you had of him?
That Joe Ingles situation was rough on the eyes for sure. I can't watch that type of stuff. So I understand what you're saying. Jay Rich, anything?
I have him going home and staying with them. I feel like it didn't work with Russ and it didn't work with Melo. I don't feel like he's gonna go to the Kai. I think he'll come home. I think that's always been an option for him. Just coming home and being the guy. He wants to be the guy. I feel like he's going to be the guy on the Cavs, but no, he's not.
Can he be the guy because Magic said he expects Lonzo's jersey in the rafters and basically has been calling Lonzo.
besides the Lonzo hate.
I'm saying Magic has expectations of Lonzo being a franchise player. So
I feel like the Lakers are going to settle because they're not going to get LeBron. And I feel like they're going to talk to Paul George and feel like that's what they need. And they're going to pitch him a crazy, scenario.
No, I think I agree with you. I think the Lakers want him. But I'm saying, can he feel comfortable being the franchise player? Remember, LeVar made the statement that if LeBron came to the Lakers, it would still be Lonzo's team.
Is this Lonzo or are we talking
about him? Do you guys think that that's the best spot for Paul George? I know he may go there, but you think that's the best spot? Like, what's the best situation for him?
Yeah, best situation.
I think the Lakers. The Lakers are his best situation.
That's crazy. Me personally, the best situation would definitely be Cleveland because he needs somebody better than him on the team. He can't go to go. He does. He's been that in Indiana.
For Paul George, Paul George's body language was terrible on OKC. You think that it's going to be the same on the Cavs? You think he's going to be straight? I don't see
what I'm saying. Indiana,
a three-headed monster. LeBron dominates the ball. You got Kevin Love who needs touches.
Wait.
Unless they get rid of Kevin Love.
You have LeBron who dominates the ball but makes the pass. And LeBron to sit off to the side and watch your man and watch whomever get off. He lets everybody get loose.
Hey, Jordan, don't worry about Kevin Love, man. Don't worry about him, okay?
Yeah, please don't. He's not going to say, hey, Paul George, you're going to start getting these buckets after Kevin Love gets his shots.
I feel like Paul George, he wants the crown. He wants to sit on the chair, bro.
That's crazy. I don't know where you get that from.
In front of him. I feel like he wants to be the guy.
He had his chance in Indiana.
Yeah, I feel like other than geographic location, I feel like that's all the Lakers could really present to him. I see that roster doing anything with just Paul George, because to get Paul George, they have to renounce the rights to Julius Randle, if I'm not mistaken. So,
and Magic's known for doing stuff like this, though. Matt is going to go off the name, and he's going to get rid of Julius Randle, and then Paul George is going to be in uniform.
And the only thing they're going to do better is fill seats.
Hey, how do you guys think Paul George would look in Washington?
I think that he'll be traded by before the season's up.
Yeah, I don't see that working in Washington.
I feel like
Bradley Beal, bro, is not going to be excited at all.
and there's a lot of hate over there on that Washington side. So someone's going to get hated on.
Well, you got John Wall dribbling the ball for 20 seconds out of the shot clock.
Hey, perfect segue. So I got a question for you guys about superstar tandems. My question is, do these stars need to break up or stay together? And the first topic is John Wall and Bradley Beal.
Break them up.
Break up.
Break them up.
Look at
John Wall. John Wall, I just can't stand they're calling sets every single play. It's 18 to 20 seconds, John Wall, dribble, 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 waiting for somebody to come off a screen the correct way.
So is that John Wall or is that Scott Brooks?
That's a little bit of both.
Okay.
That's a little bit of both. Because as the point guard, you can't get a feel for the game continuing to call plays over and over and over again. Screen
you know
and roll.
I noticed, man, I think,
pin downs.
I think you got a 2K mentality when it comes to building and creating a roster.
Let me hear. I haven't said anything about building a roster.
I mean, you just said break up John Wall. You just said break up John Wall and Bradley Beal.
Correct.
That's not the problem. They're not the problem. They're what's getting them to the playoffs. They are what made them competitive against Toronto. The problem
is too much hate, bro.
Hey, the mistake was paying Otto Porter.
Otto Porter.
Go ahead and say that.
They got money tied up in Otto Porter. They got money tied up in Ian Mahimi. Those are the mistakes.
Those are mistakes. Those are
horrendous.
Are also mistakes.
Horrendous
but
mistakes.
You have,
exactly.
But
so, Otto Porter is.
You don't think there's any
the highest paid player on the team?
Wait, hold on. Stars. You don't think there's any? You don't think there's any rift between Wall and Beal?
It doesn't matter if.
Absolutely, Wall was in Beal's pockets early, bro.
That matters.
He didn't deserve the money, bro. They've been having problems. I think. It's
okay,
a wrap.
So who would you trade?
Who
would you trade?
Who am I trading between the both of them?
Yeah, you said you got to blow them up. So how you
going to
do it, GM?
I'm going the crazy route, and I'm saying I'm getting ready to draw.
Okay,
Wall.
And what you getting back?
Sure, I'll get something back.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's thought that deep.
Listen. His knee is a problem. That injury is
tell
a
me
problem.
What you're getting
paying
back.
All
man.
That money.
Tell me what you're getting back. This is the 2K stuff. What are you getting back for John Wall? I'll tell you what you're getting back for John Wall. You're gonna get.
A
no,
lot.
You're only going to get picks.
You're
going to
get
a you're lot. Only going to get
all
picks.
So wait, what teams? But look, what teams are we talking
you told
about?
Me. You that's said you were shopping them. So if you're a GM and you got a player you want to get rid
I'm
of, you have to have a short list of teams that you could sell them to.
I'm getting a superstar back or I'm getting some picks.
You're not getting a superstar. Yeah, you're not getting a superstar back for John Wall.
For John Wall?
No, it's not 2K where you just match up a 92 rating and go get another 92.
Bro, it doesn't matter. I'm going to get a star.
Nah, you're going to have to break that up. You may get a decent player and some picks, but you're not
going
to
get picks.
Who's a decent player? Who's a decent player?
Well, I don't know. Just pick a team. And
You would have to get picks, and that will put Washington in a 5 or 6 year rebuild, which does nothing for them because
they're not a championship team, even with John Wall.
You know what the problem is not John Wall and Bradley Beal. The problem is that those guys, both of them, are not superstars. Neither of them. And
I need you to line up the trade.
There
though.
Is no trade.
So you're saying
I'm
you want them
you,
to? You
I
want
disagree
them to
with that. I'm
keep it together.
I'm not trading either of them. And
they don't get along.
You're keeping them together.
They don't
they're
get
not
along.
The problem. The problem is that they're in an era against super teams, teams with multiple superstars. They have none.
Nah.
So you need to get at least another star. And what I thought was going to be a great move for them. Was Boogie Cousins always said he wanted to play with John Wall. And he was always entertaining going to Washington. But then they signed Otto Porter, and that was it.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Otto's the problem.
What do you think, DJ?
I think they should stay together. That's their best chance. If they break it up, they're going to be – I mean, they were 8 seed this year. So if you break it up, they'll probably be a 12 seed.
John Wall makes like 30-some-odd games, didn't he?
Yeah. And I think
there's no hate or animosity between both.
It doesn't
of
matter though. You can get past that if you win games.
Yeah, winning games will kill that.
Yeah, but I think what they got to do though, they have to get John Wall off the ball a little bit more. They have to figure out a way.
Yeah, definitely.
That he's not dribbling out the clock because I do watch the games and he'll run 5 pick and rolls and set up for a mid range jumper which he can't make or a bounce pass to Gortat or hit Beal for a corner three. So they got to figure out a better way to get the offense flowing better.
Yeah, I think they got to determine who they're going to be because Bradley Beal and John Wall, they get out in transition, but then they don't even have bigs who could play that style game.
Yeah, so they got to figure that out. Next topic, we got Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum. break them up, keep them together.
You got to keep them together. Yeah, you got to keep them together. They got a good chemistry together. They're kind of identical in the sense, though, as far as what they can do. They just need better bigs. Like, I'm not really a fan of Nurkic. I'm not sure if it's because he's not getting touches.
That's surprising.
I'm not sure what it is, but he's just not doing it for them.
I thought you'd be a big fan of Nurkic.
I don't know how.
Why would you think that? I thought he was just average enough to for your liking. Like,
Come on, man, stop.
You know, he just average enough.
It's funny because I don't mind Nurkic. I think the problem is wing. Aminu, yeah,
that too.
He's not going to cut it. I think, you know, he's a good role player. I think he could play for my team off the bench. But
You mentioned Aminu, and we're right on the same page as wings, but the number one problem is Evan Turner. Real.
That's what I was going to say. Evan Turner.
Get Evan Turner up out
here.
Hey, but how are you going to get Evan? So, well, you're talking about earlier you told me about what are you going to trade him for? Who is trading for Evan Turner?
I'll use the stretch provision on Evan Turner. I want him off my team. let me look up real quick.
You know, yeah, they...
but it's not about trading. I mean, it's just a bad contract. You got to keep bad contracts off your team.
They were lucky to get rid of Allen Crabbe because they had a lot of bad contracts.
Man, they got rid of him quick too.
They got blessed.
I take Crab over Turner, man.
He would have helped them in the playoffs, though, because of the shooting.
He could shoot, yeah.
But still, though, they signed for too much money. You can't be just handing out money bags like that.
Evan Turner made $17 million this year. He's making $17.8 next year and $18.6 the year after that.
Yeah, he's got to go.
Nice for retirement.
So, everybody says keep them together?
Yeah, I will keep them together.
Jay Rich, what you doing?
Yeah, keep them together.
Okay. And my last tandem, Lowry and DeRozan. Break them up. Keep them together.
You can't
break them up. That's some money.
That's an easy call for me, man. You keep them together. Yeah. The reason why you keep them together, let me start. Out of the three we discussed, this would be the team that I would break up first.
But see, if you break them up, they'll end up like the Hawks did. Remember the Hawks won 60 games, exactly. Broke them up, exactly. And now they're at the bottom of the East.
Yeah, but I'm saying I would only break them up first based off of age, just because they're the oldest of the tandem. I mean, yeah. Lowry, but again, like I said, I think Masai is a good GM because he gave Lowry $90 million for 3 years, right? But when you look at the way he structured the team's cap, in 2020, when Lowry comes off the books, he has Ibaka coming off, he has Valanciunas coming off, and then DeRozan has a player option that he'd probably likely decline, especially if those guys were gone. So I think they're well positioned for a complete rebuild, and they're still good enough to contend right now.
Yeah.
And to sell seats. So you keep them together, and then you just break them up in 2020 when all that money comes off the books. And then you're ready to roll.
And just quick question: you would have gave Lowry 30 per year?
I mean, it's not about.
Absolutely not, because you know why?
It's not about.
Absolutely not, because in fantasy he was against it. Against Lowry making that much money. So the fact that he's saying it,
it's the fact that I don't think Lowry's worth $30 million, and I don't think he would have got that on the open market.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
But because of the Raptors cap situation. If they would have let Lowry walk, they had no money to replace him, and I am certainly against having Fred VanVleet as my starting point guard. So, with that said, I think he did the right thing in structuring the deal, giving him the 3-year deal. Lowry wanted max dollars, so we put him on a short-term contract, and it's easy. Lowry will be a good all-star level guard for the next 2 years.
It's crazy because I keep forgetting he'd be in the all-star games, even watching all-star games. Oh, there goes Larry, just out there.
Yeah, but Rozier is never just out there.
Is that going to be a punchline?
No, I'm just saying it's crazy how you see everything Rozier's doing, but these star players, they're just floating around.
I'm only talking about the post.
Lowry shot 60.
I'm only talking about the – and Larry was balling. He played well. He was balling. I'm not taking nothing from them. I don't know why you keep making this about everything. I've told you Rozier's a backup.
Okay.
A backup.
That's the last I'm going to mention.
We'll see. That's your favorite name this month.
I just couldn't believe you, dude. I couldn't believe you.
Anyway, what's next, man? I'm not for this here in entertainment.
We got an addition to the breakup. Breakup, Kawhi and the Spurs.
They
got
to keep him.
Kawhi and the Spurs.
If he's healthy, they got to keep him because you can't really replace him at all. So I think he fits that system and they got to keep him. Max him out.
it's important. It's important for them to keep him, but I wouldn't be surprised if Pop just sent him on over to Florida, down in Orlando or something like that.
Are you crazy?
Yeah, man.
Are you crazy?
Yeah, man. Get him out of here.
Are you crazy?
Get him out of here, man. Get him out of here.
Hey, Will, hey, ship him off with Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, get him out of here, man. Like, he don't want to. Play. Man. We gonna get wins without him. I'm not finna sit here and baby this guy. He gonna disrespect.
Do you think they're not getting
franchise.
No wins without him?
No, they're not. Listen. You have to keep him. But what I'm saying is, if I'm Pop and I'm upset and I feel like you disrespected me this entire season, you gotta go.
I'm gonna trade him.
Hey, you gotta let that pride go, man.
I'm gonna trade him.
Yeah, but I know if I can get, I can get 50 wins without him. Bye bye.
But if I'm RC Buford, I'm gonna trade Kawhi.
Okay, for who?
Hold on, I'm gonna get to that. But the reason why I'm gonna trade him is because I think there's a number of red flags that the media ignores because it's Kawhi. One, they expected you to come back. Okay,
he was clear
so
too.
If this was anybody else, if this was LeBron or if this was even Anthony Davis, it'd be all over the media. Why is he not playing? Why is he not playing? He's not for the team. Okay, but so what? Say you say, you know what, I'm not ready to play. Kyrie did that in the first finals with Cleveland. Remember, he hurt his knee. He felt he shouldn't be playing. So I'm fine with that. A player should prioritize their health. But for you not to even go to the games, you're not even sitting on the bench with your team. You're checked out. You're checked out. So I'm going to move Kawhi. But I'm only going to move him to Boston. And I'm
thinking you're right. And hopes of getting Tatum, or are you going to get Jaylen Brown?
I'm getting another young player, and I'm getting some picks.
Yeah, okay.
Boston's in a position where Boston may have to go for it because Boston already has given money to Gordon Hayward, which they have to be regretting right now. He's on a max deal. He's about to make 35.
He got that super max.
You got mm-hmm. it. Kyrie is due for an extension the year after next. Boston's about to be in the same boat. Yeah. Then they got to pay Tatum when he comes off his rookie deal. Jaylen Brown when he comes off his rookie deal. So they might as well take the money on now, lock people into long-term deals, and build. And it's clear Brad Stevens going to win with or without these guys. So I would if I'm RC Buford, I would run that to I'll play with that next episode. I'll give you a clear picture.
Does Boston trade Tatum?
I don't think they should trade Tatum. No. I think that would be a mistake. But I think if the Spurs can get Tatum, man, I mean, as a rookie for rookie, Tatum's better than Kawhi.
Yeah, I was about to say, if I'm Boston, I'm not getting rid of Tatum because I feel like long term, I feel like Tatum can be better than Kawhi.
Hold on.
You say that. But are you factoring defense? Offensively, he's more complete. But Kawhi defensively is a whole other animal. He'll never be like
absolutely.
Kawhi, ever.
Absolutely. He'll never because Kawhi's a special defender. He's a special defender. So you can't overlook that whatsoever.
I don't think
Tatum's going to be a bad defender. I can see if he was a bad defender.
But he's not Kawhi.
No, he's not Kawhi.
He'll never be Kawhi.
But nobody is though.
But why not? It takes money off your books. You can probably get two picks for him. I don't see Danny Ainge making that deal. But if I'm RC Buford, that's probably the only situation I'd look to trade Kawhi to. If not, we just have to work it out, and Kawhi gonna have to just man up and come back ready to play next year.
Yeah, Pop gonna have an attitude. Pop going through a lot this season.
Jay Rich, you didn't seem too happy about him saying Jason Tatum could be better than Kawhi. Oh, I do.
Yeah, I don't say it. Kawhi defensively. Let's not forget that he won a finals, you know what I'm saying? And finals. Like, Kawhi is a whole different monster, bro. I don't understand why we're you like doing this. Like, you love these rookies.
First off, this was Lamar.
Like, no. Listen. No, but I'm just saying though, like you supported
for the Spurs.
This trade, though.
For the Spurs.
Well, hold on. Right. DA, first off, you have to understand Jay Rich believes Kuzma is better than Tatum. So he doesn't see Tatum the same way we do.
Whoa, time out. First off, since we're going back in the past, did I ever say that Kuzma is better or
did I say
that
he's better?
No, you say he's better.
Identical
you said he's better.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
No.
Oh, yeah, right now.
You said
right
Kuzma now. Was better.
No, than I Tatum. Said right now. I said we're talking about. I said right now. We're talking about right now.
Yeah, you did. You, I not? You said that.
Put that on something that I did not say. Right now, I didn't say in the future. I did not say this was not a future
you
argument.
Said right
I kept
now.
Telling
as
you guys,
today,
we're not Kuzma talking
right.
About
yeah,
right now, as
okay.
Of today, I
wrong.
Like Kuzma. Yeah, I do.
Sorry,
I wasn't wrong. Let's look at a stat. You're a numbers guy. What did Tatum average this year?
Yeah. Nine shots a game.
Yeah, we've been through all this again, but I mean, you yeah. See what Tatum's doing.
And nine
shots.
Let's the facts, though. Let's look at the facts. How much did Tatum
nine average shots a game?
No, okay. Let's talk about the points average, because Dennis likes bringing a points average. He said that Jeff Green is comparable to Brandon Ingram and brought the
no, not the points
up. So
that's great.
Right.
Please let's not talk about that. That was
yeah, you did. You
all
did.
The
talk
metrics,
about the
all the metrics,
all the metrics.
That's just a fact. Brandon Ingram. I mean, you guys don't like advanced analytics and all that, but they serve a purpose. And Brandon Ingram had one of the worst rookie seasons by advanced metrics in NBA history. That's just a fact. That's just a fact. In NBA as a rookie.
Exactly. I'm going off
people
stats.
Call
going
him
off
the
numbers.
Next Kevin Durant. And I'm telling you, he's closer to Jeff Green than he is Kevin Durant.
So
you
let
guys
me ask
got
you this. They've said the same thing. They've compared Lonzo to Jay Kidd. He had one of the
– No, the no. No,
oh, don't get Dennis
no.
Started on that.
There's no advanced that. Metrics that compare Lonzo to Jason Kidd. There's no advanced
like,
metrics.
Like,
there's people who compared. There's people who compare. It's not hating. I just don't think he's good. Like, yeah. We're talking sports. That's not hate.
How are you not good? How is he not good? You first off, you said that he's not an elite passer. I don't understand how Lonzo.
I think
is
Lonzo
not a good
moves
passer.
The ball. I think
he. Yeah, he moves
said,
the ball.
Like, you said
yeah,
ball
he
mover.
Like,
I think
he's a ball mover.
The ball. Yeah, I think he's a ball mover, and I think he plays with pace. But yeah. do I see Lonzo make passes that I don't see? No, I don't. I hear people say that all the time. I look for him. I look
yeah, I
for
do.
Him, but
I see him all the time.
Nah, they don't exist.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
They don't exist.
He's an above average passer, but he's not like a great passer.
Like,
bro.
He's a ball mover.
It's not.
Dennis is crazy. Like I respect what Dwight said, but Dennis, like
it's just hate, man. Lonzo was
the rebound
like he was gonna transform the game, and I just never saw that from him. I didn't say you, man. I didn't say you. I'm just talking about the media. That was the hype that came in. The hype that Lonzo got, I would have expected him to be like a Ben Simmons, but he's not that.
I mean the assists and rebound numbers were there, but I mean yeah the points. But no one expected him to score 15 to 16 a game.
You know me. I'm like, well, tell me what he's going to do. And I got some numbers in my phone. I'm not going to throw names out there, but people were telling me he was going to be 17-9-9 as a rookie. And I clearly said, I think I predicted 8 or 9 points, and I think what he finished with. Ben?
I like the rebound and assist numbers, though. I feel like that's somewhere to go. And defensively, he was defending. You said that he can't defend. I feel like he did a lot better than people.
Yeah,
gave
yeah definitely.
That's how people
blocked.
Feel about J.J. Redick against James Harden.
A lot better.
Did better than expected, but.
Yo,
<yeah. laughs> I'm telling you, man, it's always a shot, man. Put your gun
that in. Is nowhere near compatible.
He did play better defense than what was expected.
Yeah, I'm saying I just don't see him as that. A lot of people said he'll be a perennial.
Like
it's not about
scores,
liking scores.
That's
I just think in the era of elite point guards, in the era of elite
guys
point guards,
score.
You can't
you
be
like
elite
Fox,
without scoring.
You like Fox over Lonzo. You've always liked that.
Yeah,
Fox
I do like
guy.
Fox over
you
Lonzo.
You said that he's a better scorer. Yeah, but Dick, who
had
the better year?
Pretty much similar years.
I'm about to say,
that's pretty
a wash.
Yeah,
I think they had
insane.
Similar years. I think, especially when you factor in Lonzo's expectations. De'Aaron Fox wasn't even starting at the beginning of the year.
I mean, I didn't
look the stat.
I didn't like
I just looked,
years.
I just looked at him.
Your stat
I just looked at him.
De'Aaron was 11-4.
De'Aaron Fox, 11.6, 4.4 in assists, 2.6 or 2.8 in rebounds, something like that.
And then let's look at
Lonzo played. Lonzo. I think it was 34 minutes though too, and I think he was. I think he averaged 7.2, and 6.9, something like that. So, but
something like that, or is that
say
the
it again? I believe those
is that
are the
numbers.
I just looked at them yesterday.
I was comparing the two players.
You know what, man? Like, stuff has to stop being talked about as hate. As
it's
hate,
crazy, like, dog. Like,
seeing somebody's not as good as people hate, say.
I like De'Aaron Fox. I like Fox, but it's just crazy, bro. That 11-4
nah, and wasn't like two rebounds.
It was, like,
he making
that's
that
what
up.
I'm saying.
No, it was 2 rebounds. That was 2 rebounds. 2.8 rebounds.
Well, that's what I'm
but he
saying.
Played like, 25 minutes that. Though. I still you got to explain. I think he, like, I think he played.
But
we talked about
De'Aaron being a little disappointed.
It's just crazy to me that he does this because he loves Ben Simmons with the he brings up the assists and the rebounds. Like, but then when Lonzo goes, he's just like,
I don't. We talked about Ben Simmons. Bro, I said I'm very disappointed in Ben Simmons, but I do believe that Ben Simmons.
No, but before
I believe
the
that Ben
started,
Simmons
before the series started,
man, there's a lot of holes in Lonzo's game,
and that's the key decision for you going over with Ben Simmons over Donovan Mitchell is the rebounds and the assist margin. Those are different, but yeah,
the biggest difference is that because Ben Simmons honestly, is single-handedly why Philly turned their season around compared to last year. Where Donovan Mitchell, was on the playoff team. They already made the playoff last year.
Let's cut it, man. Any last words?
Yeah, I just remember that statement that you said, bro.
You like Lonzo. I like Ben Simmons. We'll see who's better. We'll see who has a better career.
Let's wrap it up. Episode 2.
Nah, man, I'm hoping that we can bury some of this Terry Rozier talk. stay keeping our heads forward, man.
Hopefully the Cavs bury it for us, man.
Okay. Jay Rich, any last words?
Yeah. You know, I like what's going on right now. I feel like, LeBron is going to surprise some people, and I have him, winning the championship and bringing it home to Cleveland.
Hot take.
What a hot
All
take.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Nah, I feel
before,
it. I feel
before
it.
You even know the finals matchup, that's what you're going with?
Hey.
I feel it. I feel like LeBron's going to shock the
when
world.
When you know,
bro.
You know, man.
I feel it.
I'm all for it, you know.
Of course.
Well, sure. All right, fellas. We'll be back next week for episode 3. Have a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.